I'm here with FinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Kuzma, because that's what the Bucks just did. That news broke over the last 30 minutes or so. As the Bucks are trying to scrap and claw to stay relevant somehow, some way, keep Giannis happy, they trade away Chris Middleton, who has been injured quite a bit, but was part of that team who won a title and beat Phoenix after being down 2-0 and coming back and winning that finals. He's out for Kyle Kuzma. Sean and I were trying to figure out when's the last time Kyle Kuzma took a meaningful shot that anyone cared about. And we have to go back to like the 2021 playoffs, because as soon as you sign up to go play for Washington or get traded to Washington, it's over for you. No one cares about you anymore. But now he's back. Kyle Kuzma will be playing playoff basketball for a Bucks team, I think, who's lost 4 in a row. And they figured they needed to make a move, and they made it. It may lead to a bigger move. They're trying to stay under the second apron so they can possibly acquire a better player by combining salaries. But the first relatively big trade of the day is Kyle Kuzma into Milwaukee, Chris Middleton, and others to Washington. The Rockets may not make a move. We've seen reports consistently that tell us that they are not in any rush to trade away any of their young talent. Well, sometimes you live with the results of your young talent, and sometimes they're positive. Sometimes they are what happened last night, where you had multiple 20-somethings, young 20-somethings. We're talking about Reed Shepard, who got extended minutes at 20. Jalen Green at 22. He'll be 23 later in the week. And Amen Thompson, who just turned 22, all contributing to, let's just say, an improbable and embarrassing loss to the Nets. The Nets not even playing the likes of Cam Thomas or Cam Johnson. The Nets want to be bad, at least the franchise does. The players are trying. The players took issue with some of Ime Udoka's comments leading into this game, because he referenced the Nets being a low-level team when the Rockets lost to them here in Houston. They remember that, and they pulled those receipts afterwards as a D'Angelo Russell 3 put the Rockets down by 2 after a bad inbounds pass by Amen Thompson. Hell, the shot that led to it was a wide open, barely, maybe you want to say, contested jumper that got the Nets within one. And then D'Angelo Russell takes advantage of a bad pass. The ball's tapped to him, and he knocks down a 3. So somehow, some way, the Rockets have lost 4 in a row, 2 of them to the Brooklyn Nets. Getting swept by the Nets in what to this point has been a really good season is a bit of a black mark. There's no other way to talk about it. It's not backbreaking. It's not a killer. It's embarrassing. More than anything else, it's just embarrassing. And you knew you were in a little trouble. Look, you're a good basketball team, they're a bad one. So there is some self-belief, or at least belief in your team, that at some point they'll find a way. Yeah, they're putting up a stinker, but it's the Nets. They'll find a way to win this one, right? They had the lead throughout the fourth quarter. It's a close game, but they never can really get any distance. But anytime the Nets turned it into a one-point game or two-point game, the Rockets push it out to four. They score a bucket here, score a bucket there. Not a lot of breathing room, but enough. Alperen missed a couple free throws down the stretch. He did make his final four. Dylan Brooks, when he had a chance to put him up two possessions, he missed one. So it wasn't just the likes of Shepherd and Reed and excuse me, it wasn't just like Jalen and Amen and Reed. You can throw Alperen in for his missed free throws, although he was kind of the backbone of their offense late. And then Dylan Brooks, the veteran, split a pair. So a lot of things had to happen for them to be living and dying on a Jalen Green desperation shot to end the game. But you could say it's a full team loss. They all found a way. And the head coach, not thrilled with Jalen Green. Reed Shepherd, you could say that was an ill-advised shot. But when Jalen Green, after the miss by Reed on a in a transition opportunity, when they could have run some clock up for Jalen Green, got the offensive rebound, which eventually the ball found him, and he took a shot within half a second of him touching the ball. Once they hit a stoppage of play, Ime is on the court asking him, what are you doing? And not in the way I did it. There might have been an expletive, but he did say, what are you doing? These are the wages of having a young basketball team. They're going to do things that make you love them because of the athleticism, the exuberance. They're approaching games not knowing they're not supposed to be as good as they are. And then they're going to do things to remind you that, oh yeah, we are led by a bunch of guys who are 4-6 years away from their prime. And you got one of those last night. You got a overall not good performance, and then you snatch victory from the jaws, or however that goes. You snatch the loss from the jaws of victory, however the hell that goes. But that's what they did last night. It's nothing more than that. They are playing poorly, though. That's now four losses in a row and two varying opponents. Like, you understand the Knicks game, even though you're up big, that's a good basketball team on the road. You lose that one, you're down guys. You fought, you scrapped, but you were down players. There's no real excuse for the Brooklyn games. People try to shoot them some bail after they lost the first Brooklyn game, but even Ime didn't want to hear it. Yeah, Alpi wasn't there, but what's that got to do with our energy? We didn't play with any energy. That's why Brooklyn ran away with that one. Last night, just a failure from top to bottom. And is this going to be a problem for the rest of the year? I think the rest of the year should be about building good habits, because we know they're a playoff team now. Maybe we're not so sure they're going to have a home court advantage spot in these playoffs, because the Lakers keep winning, and that's before they add Luka to the mix. Of course, the Grizzlies are playing better basketball now, and then the Nuggets ain't going anywhere. So you went from what felt like an assured top four seed within a week span now. You're still in the top four, but it's not so short. And when you start to see little dings in the armor, you start to question, is this the start of something that's going to be an issue throughout the year, or is this just a hiccup? The Rockets haven't really had a hiccup, right? Isn't four games their longest losing streak of the year?
Yeah, three games was their
longest. Yeah, three was.
And then now four.
Now four. So they haven't had one of these, which speaks to why their record is what it is. So they're due for a bad stretch of basketball, and the coin flipped. They were winning games when they were living on the edge, and now they're losing them. You hope it flips before the All-Star break, because everyone's saying, hey, they need the All-Star break. They still got like five games.
Yeah.
You can't say they need the All-Star break now. They got five more of these to go.
Yeah, I mean, they're right now in the middle of a stretch of five games and seven nights. Bad time to be beat up and be playing your worst basketball, because it's all if you have a bad week, you lose five games.
Yeah. Now they go to Minnesota. That's their next game. Minnesota does play tonight. So while the Rockets had the back-to-back against the Nets and the Knicks, they didn't have to travel very far. They will have the rest advantage. Minnesota is playing at home tonight. They don't have to travel. And then they host the Rockets tomorrow nights. But the Rockets will be able to be in town, relax, try to get themselves together, and hopefully Tari's back after sitting out the second night of a back-to-back. So you're as close to full strength as you can. We'll see about Fred VanVleet. Apparently, he's pretty important. You know, the question about his salary, understood. No one likes paying a point guard who shoots the way he shoots $40-plus million a year. Not going to fight it. We had, I think, Thomas call up about that yesterday. Yeah, that's a lot of money for Fred VanVleet. I still don't think the intangibles get you to 40-plus million, but there's something there about having him.
Not throwing the ball to the other team?
Yeah. I don't know if he would have been the inbounder, but maybe that play doesn't happen. Maybe Reed Sheppard isn't the guy in the situation taking the ill-advised jumper. Either you get a better shot, although you do have your shooter open, but considering time and situation, get a better shot.
Running off 20 seconds is better than a 38% chance of making a shot?
Yes. You get a better shot. Maybe you get fouled. There are all the scenarios that could have gone their way that they eliminated once he took that jumper in transition. And then Jalen's like, you know what? You don't think I'll do it. You don't think I will? You know, I'll definitely do it.
Here's one more for
Here's one more for you. And eBay's like, I didn't want the first one.
Yeah. Well, when Sheppard shot it, I was like, you know, you can really feel that this is this guy's first, like, big, meaningful game, closing it out. I mean, this guy, he's been playing in the G League or not playing at all for most of the year. So, like, that kind of mental lapse, like, all right, this isn't Kentucky anymore, dude, all right? So just chill out next time. And then the ball bounces to Jalen Green, who's in the middle of his fourth season, and he puts up an even worse one. You're like, oh, what are we doing? What's going on?
That is why the coach asked the question, what are you doing?
I mean, because, listen, like, I don't want to, like, pin it all on Jalen, but, like, Jalen, that's where you need Jalen Green to be, not even be a star, just be, like, a NBA player. Yeah,
you're a young vet at this point.
Knows how to play, like, again, he's played, 155 straight games. He should know that, hey, there's 40 seconds left, and we're up
we don't need
three
this shot.
Or whatever.
I think they were up four.
Up four, even worse.
And the Nets come down and knock down
just
three.
Just hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
Honestly, a shot clock violation
would have been better.
Is better.
Would have been better.
That helps you win more. And then didn't love his effort on the inbound pass, trying to get open. That's another one where it's like, I don't know if Fred VanVleet's inbounding the ball instead of Amin Thompson. At the very least, he's working harder to get open than everyone else on the court was, because Tate didn't really move towards the ball. Like, just they needed a timeout there to save themselves from making a terrible decision.
Sorry, while you were talking, I was listening, but I was looking at edits of Kyle Kuzma in a Milwaukee Bucks jersey.
Looks good, huh? Aura?
Depends on...
No aura?
Depends on who you are. When's the last time anyone threw him at a big three? The Lonzo Ingram days in L.A.? When they were supposed to be that Lakers young core?
Maybe he got thrown in a Davis LeBron, and then we need to say
we
we're big three.
Need someone to be a big three, yeah.
So possible. We just throw him in there.
That's possible. Still, it's been half a decade either way.
Yeah, when I saw Shams Charania, because he tweeted out the actual trade, and then like 2 minutes later, like it was so fast that driving in, like I didn't see I saw the edit first, the Photoshop first, and I was able to surmise what happened. But I was like, do we really need the like first look at him in a Bucks jersey? Like,
no, we don't.
I don't know if Kuzma's that.
It's Kyle Kuzma. And what's even sadder is the graphic from NBA on ESPN talking about the Bucks starting five and the question, how far can this potential starting five go? Dame, Andre Jackson Jr., Kuzma, Giannis, and Brooke Lopez.
Maybe second round of the play. Losing the second round.
Maybe. And as it stands now.
Are they like the seventh seed?
I think they're the fifth seed. So they wouldn't even have home court against the Pacers as it stands right now.
Rematch from last year. Last year's first round matchup.
They were not healthy that time.
Yeah, no Giannis. I think Dame missed a couple games.
Yeah. Doc Rivers is still there, so that should make people feel comfortable and feel good about the Bucks.
Oh, no, they
did
have Milton.
Yeah, they did. They don't have him now. They have Kuzma instead. Cool.
They're two games up on the Pistons.
That's what I'm saying. They are not that far away from being a play-in team. That's why you go trade for Kyle Kuzma.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Couldn't be me, Dell. Couldn't be me.
You're correct, because it's the Bucks. Now, all I hope, if the Rockets are making a move on that level, They don't really have a franchise cornerstone that's going to piss people off if they trade away. But at least Kyle Kuzma's off the board, so Kyle Kuzma can't be a Rocket.
It is one of those moves. I mean, it mostly happens in free agency where you're glad someone else signs a player that you don't want your team to sign as like a, okay, good. You took the car keys out of the hands of the GM there. Like, okay, we're not going to drive this thing off the ditch. Like, we can at least, we're not going to make that mistake.
Yes.
We can say that. No matter what we do, if we do anything, we're not doing that.
Like, I don't feel confident enough that the team, not the Rock specifically, but in your example, that this team wouldn't have made that move, but at least someone got to it first.
Yeah.
Someone got to it first, so it can't be us.
They jumped on that grenade. They traded the, I don't know, second most important person from their title team.
Yeah.
For Kyle Kuzma. Not us.
What the Rockets may do could be a small move. Steven Adams was mentioned because the Lakers are looking for a big man. They're not close to a deal there. Apparently the Rockets are asking for more than the Lakers can provide for their backup big. So Rocket people are interested in Rockets players. The Rockets aren't that interested in trading any of them away, except for one guy. We'll mention that one guy when we come back, because the Rockets, as we talked about weeks ago, have shifted from a 35 to 36-year-old star to a star in his late 20s who may not even be on their timeline, but at least this one makes more sense. We'll get to that. I will say this. There's not a lot to it. It's a lot of, hey, if this guy became available, then the Rockets would listen. But right now, this guy isn't available. But we'll talk about that when we come back. If you want to get in on the show, you can, 713-780-3776. Dana Brown spoke, and just more evidence that all the Bregman stuff is more of a creation of fans and pseudo-media types, and then some real media members than anything the Astros are actually providing as far as real news. So a lot of the Dana Brown's vibes we got last year when he was discussing injuries, like, yeah, you know, it's close, but he won't even say that about Bregman. And it's more, hey, yeah, we know he exists. And that's the approach we're taking to it, despite some of the buzz that started maybe 2-3 weeks ago now. Okay, we'll get to that. And we have news about the Texans, and they've made a hire, and I think maybe they've made a second on that offensive staff that's being revamped. So a lot to get to here as we're just getting started. We'll be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks to the break, I was able to watch the entire new trailer for Jurassic Park. I don't know what it's called. Jurassic Rebirth or something like that. I don't know where I stand with Scarlett Johansson as an action star. She is the person. She's the Chris Pratt of this particular movie. She's the one who's going to be firing the weapon, saving the scientists, stuff like that.
The Sam Neill, please.
Well, Sam Neill he was a scientist. That's why I didn't use Sam Neill. Like, Chris Pratt was not stupid, at least in the movie, but I don't know if he's stupid in real life. I'm just saying. He wasn't Andy Dwyer. He wasn't the dumb meathead. He was smart, but he was the guy who saved people from things. He was the smart action hero. She is playing that role in this one. Trailer's fine.
I'm honestly sure she's like, don't lump me in with Chris Pratt.
Well, they both are Marvel stars, so yeah. There's a connection there.
Yeah. Did you watch the last couple Jurassic World movies?
They're not good.
Yeah, don't lump me in with those.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a proper defense. I don't know that this one will be
There's a reason
good.
This one's Rebirth, all right?
And they're going back to an
that
island.
One's dead.
Yeah, they're going back to an island.
Nice. Love it.
The dinosaurs in places that are heavily populated, they're not doing it here. They're back to an island.
I saw like a detail for it, and I read it very quickly, and then there's like the pictures, and so my brain filled in the blanks that I didn't quite all the way read at the end of the sentence, but that one of the dinosaurs is based off of like a T-Rex, some like Star Wars thing and a xenomorph from Aliens. And I just read that as those three things are going to be in this movie. And I was like, what?
I don't know why.
An alien?
If they can do I know the Godzilla Kong thing has happened, but yeah. Why can't we get Kong against a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Great question.
Why can't?
Great question.
What are the properties involved that is keeping that from happening?
The one that's like suit. I mean, it's Jurassic Park. It's not realistic. The one that's like pseudo realistic is that Jurassic Park. One of the bigger properties that Universal owns. One of the other biggest ones that they have is Fast and Furious. If you haven't made a good Jurassic Park movie, in I'm gonna be nice and say. No, I'm not going to be nice. The first one.
Since the first
the
one.
First
wow.
One. I was going to be nice and say maybe the second one. The first one. Although I do like Jurassic Park 3.
But not because it's good.
No, because I watched it when I was 10. And I was nostalgia. This rocks. If you're going to save this dying franchise that needs a rebirth, do it with Dominic Toretto and the boys. It would not be the most insane thing.
What's
that they
the premise? Orlando, I see. You'll get to you. The premise is that Dom takes his family to the park for what they think is a regular old trip to see dinosaurs.
It's Kurt Russell's Mr. Nobody character, and he goes, Dom, we have a situation.
We need you to corral all these dinosaurs?
Yep.
So you want to go back to the end of the Chris Pratt movie where they're running around.
Oh, no. It's this off-the-books. Or you know what? Someone stole the whatever formula for dinosaurs. You can bring back Wayne Knight if you want to. And they're making illegal dinosaurs off the coast of Costa Rica, right?
Yeah, sure.
We can change the location. Doesn't matter. I guess because that's the on-the-books one. They're making – and we need your team. We need Ludacris. We need
Tyrese
and the gang to put an end to this. And then they're – you know, driving cars around T-Rexes.
Whatever gets me more Vanessa Kirby, because isn't she the sister of what? Is it Hobbs or Shaw? I don't remember what Jason Statham's character's name is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Declan Shaw.
Yes. She's his sister. Get her in there, too. I wouldn't mind it. Either way, Scarlett Johansson, action star, corralling dinosaurs. Coming to you soon. Orlando, it just says you want to talk to me. What's up, Orlando?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, every show in Houston, man.
Appreciate that. What I did. Thank you.
I was calling this Houston Rockets situation, man. We need a closer. Jalen Green is good. Amen Thomas will be that guy, but we need a closer. These games come at the end of the game, all nail biters. Who's out there? Who can we get? And I'll shut up and listen. Appreciate you guys.
I appreciate the nice words, and this is why the Rockets need a star. This is why they want one. I know there's just pushback because everyone's excited about the core seven, however deep you think this core is going to be. Everyone's afraid of giving up some of the youthful talent for an established guy. And honestly, I understand some of the names when they're talking about Butler or Durant, those older guys who don't fit the timeline. The guy I mentioned and I was talking about before going to break was Devin Booker. That's the one guy the Rockets would listen to offers from the Suns about if they decided Devin Booker was on the table. Now, we see that Kevin Durant is actually a viable choice for the Warriors and others, which felt like they were trying to get Jimmy Butler to team with those guys. Now, it seems like with that having the Bradley Beal albatross in the way, that Kevin Durant could be on the move with the Warriors and others sniffing around to see if they can get that done, while Jimmy Butler becomes a secondary potential star to acquire for some of these teams. I would say Devin Booker is your guy. If you're talking about likely candidates, not even likely, guys the Rockets deem appropriate for where they are right now and what they want to accomplish, that's the name. Do you think Devin Booker's worth? I brought up just random guys. I wasn't even really thinking about it on the morning show. Devin Booker. You're sending Jalen Green out. You're sending Tari out. Two first-rounders and salary filler. If that's what gets it done to go get you a 28-year-old star, perennial all-star, although not this year, and he was complaining about expanding the rosters. But Generally,
yeah, that's what we need.
Generally, yeah, that's what we need. More guys who don't care that much. Generally, an all-star, if you're talking about shipping your two guard out, shipping your wing defender out to help the salaries, then you're and then shipping a promising young player who has some injury concerns, and then throwing on some picks, is that too much? If you're conceiving of a, we always got to put it in the big three lens, a big three of Amen, Şengün, and Booker, with Booker being your lead dog, when you know you have to consolidate some of these pieces anyway, you're not going to be able to pay all these guys anyway.
Yeah.
And if Tari and Jalen, who you've already given a shorter deal to, are the ones who go out, I think it's well worth exploring. But this is a hypothetical.
Yeah.
The Suns have their own franchise player that they love, and that is Devin Booker. They have given no indication that they would send him out. He would have to ask out,
yeah.
And he is not to that point yet.
I do wonder, and this is because I agree with you on the Devin Booker thing. I do wonder where the reports that you mentioned of the Suns listening on Kevin Durant, and it's seeming like he's going to Golden State as they tried to work out a deal to get Jimmy Butler to Phoenix, which is kind of lightly mind-boggling. Not completely mind-boggling, but a little mind-boggling. I think that hurts the Rockets' Devin Booker chances this offseason if they reshuffle the deck again. Because normally they're not going to – like, normally these teams don't reshuffle the deck, and then after half a season, the guy's like, all right, I'm out. You know, it's we've run back the same core for now. This would be three playoffs with the Suns, with the Kevin Durant, Devin Booker pairing. And if they keep hitting their head at the first round of the playoffs like they have, I think that's when you get the, like, Devin Booker, what are we even doing here? I think if they reshuffle the deck, you probably give it another year if you're Booker.
Well,
that's just speculation and how this stuff normally goes.
Windhorse, in a report this morning, in talking about the all the scenarios involving Butler and Durant and what could possibly happen, the one guy said ain't going anywhere is Booker. The Suns aren't dealing him.
Until he asks.
Until he's going to have to be the one. Yeah. They're not going to offer him anyone.
Which they shouldn't. They 100% shouldn't. It's like, well, it's like Luka and the Mavs. You should not trade. Devin Booker is a guy you don't trade until he asks to be traded.
And if he never asks, count yourself lucky.
Yeah, then congratulations. You have Tim Duncan on your team.
There you go.
Much, much worse Tim Duncan.
Devin Booker's like, you didn't have to add that. No, you're not wrong, but Devin Booker's, hey, what are you doing?
He's been in the league a decade. Tim Duncan had, what, three rings by now?
He was in a much better place.
He had four rings.
He was in a much better place to start, yeah. Yes.
He had better teammates than Kevin Durant. Chris Paul, Bradley Beal, DeAndre Ayton.
For the first half of his career, first 5 years of his career, Devin Booker was playing against guys you can't even name. Can you remember Son?
Goran Dragic? Yeah, I remember him.
How long was he there before he got traded? He's thought more of as a Miami Heat player than he is a Son. Yeah. So, but to your point, yes. Tim Duncan has done a lot more winning than Devin Booker, but he is their version of, well, Steph. Dirk.
Yeah.
Dirk. And we can use Dirk because Dirk didn't win until he was like in his 30s. So maybe Devin Booker is 3 or 4 years away from them putting a better team around him and him winning. But right now he wants to do that in Phoenix. We'll see. If Kevin Durant gets shipped out and he's stuck with Bradley Beal, there may be a different conversation. He may look at this franchise as a dead end and get me out of here.
If they trade Kevin Durant, they basically have to get Draymond Green back, right?
They decide they must have a star no matter what, no matter how bright the star is, and say, yeah, the plan was for it to be Durant, Butler, and Booker, but we can't get rid of Beal because he has the most valuable thing in all of basketball, apparently.
Brian Windhorst just said there's two guys that aren't getting traded.
That's true.
It's Booker and Beal.
Well, I guess he has to. Maybe he did, but the caption or the headline was that. But I guess from the Suns' perspective, the only one who is untouchable is Booker. They say, hey, touch on Beal all you want, but nobody wants to.
All right.
And Beal doesn't want to allow it to happen either. He says, I'm fine.
By the way, Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green's salary add up to almost exactly Kevin Durant's salary. And the Suns are a team over the second apron.
So they can't aggregate.
Yeah, so it has to be only Durant. He can't be in a trade with someone else on the Suns. So you can't even go like over and then, you know, throw in more stuff from the Warriors. You also have to keep in mind the, what's it called? Roster limits.
Yep. It would have to be a multi-team deal. So maybe that involves Wiggins going to Miami and Butler winding up in Phoenix. Who knows? Who knows how it would all work? I can't envision them trading Draymond. I know it helps make it work, but Durant and Curry, I think that would involve Draymond being there, and Draymond and KD years later have already worked out all their problems for this to be a reality. But at the moment, certainly possible. Rockets not really involved in any of it. We're just dream casting a potential closer.
Yeah.
Like Orlando was asking about.
The moves that we would have the Rockets be doing are not like knock your socks off, super sexy
franchise changing moves.
Let's talk about it for 3 days. Like it's just going to be like, solid backup guard. Or maybe a Rob Williams. Rob Williams is probably the guy that gets us most excited that is realistic for the deadline.
Without having to give up very much. I've talked about the guy all week. Cam Johnson, I would like that move, but the Nets are asking for plenty. I'm not sure the Rockets value Cam Johnson that way. That two first-round picks could be on the table, which is apparently what the Nets' asking price
is. It's a situation where his price is so much, or not like so much, that the Rockets can't do it, but it's like they can't do it while also keeping their powder dry for a star in the offseason, where it's like, okay, so we're going to be trading this stuff for Cam Johnson, then we have to turn around and trade even more. Like at some point, the Cam Johnson trade limits what you can do in a future trade while also keeping like a good team around. So that's why it's like a weird like middle ground of he might actually be too good to be trade or to for the Rockets to get into it. Also, someone's probably going to be more desperate than the Rockets are for this guy.
We saw a lesser player get traded to Milwaukee. If Milwaukee had the assets, I'm sure they would have loved to ship Middleton for Cam Johnson. Just costs far too much to get that done. Kyle Kuzma instead, their new pseudo big three. We will get to the Dana Brown, Alex Bregman stuff, and mostly it's Dana Brown taking the same position he's taken for the last couple weeks. It's interesting that he's still out there, but we're not really talking to his agent about it. We'll hear from Dana Brown when we come back. But first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And, of course, you got the big game coming up on Sunday, of course, Super Bowl Sunday. And they already have all the projections out there. Right now, you have a feeling that you think that maybe Jalen Hurts is going to go over his 213.5 passing projection. If you think obviously, Pat Mahomes, they're still offering over half a yard passing. I think he's going to get over that. You put those together, you're at a x3 right there. You can win three times your money if Jalen Hurts throws for more than 213, and if Patrick Mahomes throws for one, you can get three times your money just that easy on Prize Picks. If you don't like football, if you're not into football, or you realize, hey, it's only one game, you got an entire year of sports ahead of you. They also have full season MLB projections. Of course, they have NBA, college basketball, hockey, whatever you want. They have darts, if you're into darts. They have whatever you want on Prize Picks, whatever sport you're interested in. You can make a little money if you know your stuff by playing Prize Picks. Just download the app today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All Welcome back to the show. Sean's heavy into the trade machine right now. He's very excited about the trade deadline, the NBA coming up, and he's maneuvered Kevin Durant to Golden State.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Warrior again, Kevin Durant, son, Jimmy Butler, and son, Lindy Waters, mm-hmm. the third. Specifically, I said, I want the third, not the second. And the Miami Heat, Wiggins, Kuminga, huh? And I'm sorry, in light of recent comments, I feel bad trading
Dennis
him
Schroeder.
Now. Yeah, Dennis Schroeder. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man.
If you missed the Dennis Schroeder compared all the buzz around the trade deadline to modern day slavery.
Yeah. Now I feel bad. Hold on. You know what?
I would ask.
I'm taking him out, and it's gonna be Buddy Hield instead.
Yeah, you got to be fair to the multimillionaire when he discusses being moved. Look,
I just don't want him to feel like
it does suck. I'm not going to pretend like.
Oh wait, the trade failed. If I did that, never mind.
All right, Sean will work on it. But either way, he's got the structure of a deal. He just has to figure out all the particulars. I won't crush Dennis Schroeder for acknowledging that it sucks to be at the whim of a franchise and you get sent to some city you weren't planning on living in, but. Use different terms. You're opening yourself up to get crushed.
Yeah, like
it's very silly to use that phrase. Just say, hey, it's not great to get yourself established someplace, sign a deal someplace, and then
it's hard.
And then have someone call you and let you know, oh, by the way, beat it. We're going to send you someplace else. It's not fun. You don't want to pick up and move, even particularly for a place who may send you someplace else in a matter of a month or so. But you just got to use different words, man. Your message would have been fine. No one would have killed you. You just use two words that are very, well, it's the one word. Modern's not so bad. But the slavery word, too far, Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to avoid it.
No, people didn't like it. People didn't like it when NCAA players would throw that around or make that comparison. And those guys weren't getting paid.
At least not above the table, at least.
Yeah, those guys actually weren't pulling in a salary.
Yes.
When they were comparing that.
Anytime the word slavery crosses your mind as a modern individual and you want to compare yourself to it, unless you're actually working for no pay, don't say slavery. All your points will be considered void. No one wants to hear a word you say once you throw that word out. It's a non-starter for most people.
We have a
breaking
trade.
News.
We have a Houston Rockets trade.
What?
The Houston Rockets have made a trade.
Who did they trade? Who did they get?
So the Boston Celtics are trading
Luke Kornet,
Jaden Springer, and their 2030 second round pick to the Houston Rockets.
For who?
Both teams are also exchanging heavily protected second rounders.
Oh, so
that's all that Shams has for.
So the Rockets are acquiring a
Jaden Springer,
a player out of the Celtics rotation.
A young, promising player.
That's right. So another young player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wing. Does that mean the Rockets are on the verge of making a separate move? They're acquiring Jaden Springer?
Move before the move.
Exactly. Jaden Springer is a little-used wing for the Celtics.
Is he the A.J. Griffin replacement that the Rockets have been waiting
I remember
for?
When people on Rockets Twitter were excited that A.J. Griffin was a first-round pick. What can they get out of him? Nothing. Nothing. That was the answer to that question.
Well, he retired on his own accord.
Yes, but what the Rockets could get out of him, nothing.
They got nothing.
He retired.
He played like 10 games.
Jaden Springer was drafted in 2021. He's been hanging around with the Sixers. That was his first team, and then he recently became a Celtic playing in the G League, playing on the NBA level, and playing, I put in quotes, he's been on the roster while games were being played. He doesn't get a lot of minutes. 6'4". Don't know exactly what that's for. They seem to already have a glut at that position, but they do add Springer and a second-round pick is what you said?
Yes, they get the Boston Celtics 2030 second-round pick, and they're because the Rockets have to give something up at this trade.
Cash considerations?
No, they're exchanging second-rounders, heavily protected.
So perhaps this is more about what the Celtics are trying to do. And they're freeing up a roster spot?
Either freeing up a roster spot or
getting away from the tax.
Away from the tax.
So there it is. The Rockets make a move for someone who you may not see play for them for a while unless a lot of injuries occur. He might get sent right to Rio Grande or waived. I don't know. Jaden Springer won't cost the Rockets much if they want to get rid of him. They get a second-round pick out of it. So there it is. The Rockets make a move.
31% from three this year? I don't know.
What don't you know?
Shooting 0.7 per game.
I won't call it a nothing, but it's pretty close to that. This is a feels like mostly a salary dump for the Celtics, and the Rockets are accommodating because they got a pick out of it.
He shot 40% from three in 2023.
No, you're not going to get me. He played. No, what? You're not. That was a two teams ago. Now
he was and also for that season he shot 40%. He was 2 for 5. I wouldn't say the biggest sample size.
Not at all.
That's the first half for Jalen Green.
There it is. Breaking news. Jane Springer, a Houston Rocket, in what most likely was a salary dump for the Celtics. Okay. So we will get to the Dana Brown thing when we come back. We did have to pause and actually alert you to
the Rockets
news.
Made a trade. I'm sorry.
They did make a trade.
It's the trade deadline and they made a trade.
There are some things we cannot hit the buzzer for. We could have just talked about it.
See, I think if we would have just blown past it and Dana Brown saying the thing that we already know, and then we don't get to it. As I played the Dana Brown sound, you would have been in my ear being like, get ready with the Lance Horn. We have breaking news.
It's not a chance in hell.
I don't know.
It's an assumption you're making, and I appreciate your initiative. I just wouldn't have done it. We could have gotten to it coming back from a break. Instead, we will come back from a break and play the sound. You all know it's coming. From Dana Brown. Dana Brown on where the Astros stand with Alex Bregman. And he's got an update on Altuve and left and McCullers pitching. We'll get to that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Dana Brown spoke yesterday, said things that are reminiscent of past things he said about Alex Bregman, but this one apparently really caught people because he mentioned Bregman in the past tense, along with Kyle Tucker. And then he had to do a little cleanup and clarification after people needed more from him on it. So you're going to hear the initial comments and then the follow-up when reporters asked him a question directly about the status of Bregman and the Astros.
And so we're trying to build this club not only for 2025, but we're building it for the future and beyond. And so, you know, I know we're going to miss out on Tucker. We're missing out on Bregman because he was a free agent. And, you know, but we felt like we added two big pieces back in that first through five in the order. You know, we lost Tucker and Bregman, but, you know, adding back Paredes and Walker, guys that are going to hit, you know, that early in your lineup, we felt like, you know, we're a good team. I mean, we know that those guys that are leaving – that were good. They were a big part of the winning here, but we also feel good about, you know, the current team, and we feel like we've got every opportunity to win the division again.
Well, I mean, ultimately, we're still having conversations about Bregman internally, and I could probably leave it at that.
There we are. Same place we were since the start of this whole thing, but the past tense stuff got a lot of Astro fans, at least people were holding out hope for this thing to happen. A little upset, as if the end wasn't always near. And we are simply waiting on Bregman to take an offer that, at least at this point, he doesn't feel is his proper value. And I'm not talking about the Astros offer. I'm talking about one from another team. This is only a story and only still in the cycle because Boris and Bregman have, to this point, overvalued what they're worth, while the Astros have consistently stayed at one point, and no matter what a reporter says or an Astros aggregation site puts out, nothing's really changed. Dana Brown has to dance around mentioning that he's not even talking to Boris. He's like, yeah, I got to get back to him. Yeah, I owe Boris a call. That should tell you where things stand. They aren't having active conversations where, hey Alex, we'd really love to have you back. We're going to change the off season we've nearly completed, waiting for you. And if you decide to come back, we'll figure it out. That is something internally they might be having a talk about, but they're not telling Boras that. They're going about their business. And part of that business is putting Altuve in left field, no matter what. Altuve was open about doing it for Bregman, but the Astros have a plan to play him in left field. Is that more to keep Jordan out of left field, or do they really think Altuve has slipped so much at second base that the only spot to hide him is in left field? Well, Danny Brown says there's joy from Altuve playing left, and he gives an update about McCullers as well.
Yeah, so I walked out one day, I saw him taking some fly balls, and me being a scout from coming out of a scouting background, I was like, look, this guy looks pretty good out there. And we all know he could run, and I just saw the fun and joy on his face like a little kid. You know, he was out there having some fun, so that's always a good thing.
You were also an outfielder too, weren't you?
Danny, going into camp, what's it look like right now for Lance McCullers? Where is he in his rehab?
Yeah, he's been throwing very well. I think he's had like five workouts off the mound. There's no pain. I think he's been up to 90, and so he's throwing the ball very well. It looks very promising, and we hope he continue to progress.
I know there are some that aren't as bothered by the Altuve and left field thing. They're not as bothered as I am, but for some reason I'm bothered by it. Can he just play second? Can he? I guess it'll have to play out, but I don't know where the value of putting him in left is, other than we never want to see Jordan out there again. You know, the guy who, despite Sean poo-pooing it, was voted the best left fielder in baseball. The best left fielder in baseball by MLB.
You also were like, how much does the guy actually have to play to the position?
Yeah, but you were more dismissive than I was.
Well, because they didn't have DHs, and every team in the league has a DH.
See? You're ripping apart our guy being the best left fielder in baseball. You can't let it go.
Just plays DH more.
A lot more.
Next year, they're going to go back-to-back on best left
fielders. Hey, Jordan's so great in left field, the Astros never wanted to play left field.
Ever.
That's how great he
Try
is in left
at
field.
Second.
They'd rather put their franchise corners, legend, best Astro ever in left field.
Yeah.
A position he's never played, than have him out there, despite him being the best left fielder in baseball, according to MLB.
Craig Biggio moved to the outfield for Jeff Kent. Jose Altuve is doing it for Mauricio Dubon.
Well, he potentially was doing it for a Polanco.
Yeah, they struck out on all the people that would make sense, or not even make sense, that would at least play second base. They just haven't signed anybody.
And they still want to do it.
Yeah, they signed a first baseman and a third baseman. They're like, also, you're outfield.
We don't even have a viable real replacement for you, but get out of here. We want you to play left, excuse me. It's better for us and better for you. At least we'll tell you that. And Altuve's having the time of his life. Wee! I'm out here playing left field. Ain't it great taking paths to baseballs?
This thing's way bigger when you're up close.
Hey, look at that. I can't wait. I can't wait for the
God, the
I'm not going to call it. I'm not going to say it's going to be a disaster. Although I have that thought in my head. Forget about the home park, because he gets all the practice he wants figuring out how to play left field in his home park. When he's got to go to all these places, he's never stepped foot in the outfield except to chase down a blooper. And he's not even in left. He's generally chasing it down and right. or center, maybe.
I don't know what the closest he's ever been to the Green Monster.
Yeah, but he's going to get an up close and personal look at it.
God, I can't wait. This has really made me excited for Astros baseball.
I do welcome the moments that we're going to see. Although, still, if I had my way, just stick the man at second and be done with it.
Because now when we get the lineup tweets from the beat reporters every game, and then Jeremy quote tweets it, what's wrong with Joe's lineup? Like, now, it's not just the order. It's where the hell is Altuve playing?
Exactly.
That could be a problem.
The mystery of where Altuve is playing day to day.
And then when he's playing left, I'm like, oh, gotta lock in on this one. This game, gotta both eyes on this one. Man.
It's going to be good stuff.
Man, it's going to be so exciting. I can't wait.
A breath of fresh air to Jeremy's tweets. He's got more.
I thought it was done when Dusty Baker left, and he went through. He maintained the bit with Joe Espada.
Do you think he will stick with that question? What's wrong with Espada's lineup, or will it be where in the world is Altuve?
I think he'll go, what's wrong with Espada's lineup? Still.
Okay, he'll stick
that
and be consistent. Okay,
yeah.
We'll hear from Joe Espada when we come back. he has a existential approach to Lance McCullers. He's just very happy to see him out there, man. Just feels good to see Lance out there. Lance, a person out there throwing baseballs. The Astros have been very good about not giving us any type of timeline for when he's actually going to throw a competitive pitch in a major league game. It's just he's feeling good, but you can't pin them down for an actual time. Like, if you ask them, after opening day, that's as much as they'll give you. We'll hear from Joe Espada on Lance McCullers when we come back. But before we do that, let's talk about Miami Chevrolet. Maybe we don't know when Lance McCullers is going to pitch, but I can tell you where Miami Chevrolet is and where you should go to check everything they have to offer out. MiamiChevrolet.com is a website, and they're in Pasadena off of Beltway in 225. The lot is expansive, and all the vehicles you see on the website, those prices, they don't change once you get out there and see them up close and personal. One of the best things about Monument Chevrolet is no hidden fees, no upcharges. They're not going to trick you with anything. They're not just trying to get you out there. And then once you're on the campus, everything changes. The friendly service remains. The convenience remains. They will walk you through the process and get you in the best vehicle for you. And they're going to work with you. Their job is to get you in the right car in the quickest amount of time. So once you check out, whether it be a Tahoe or a Trax or a Blazer from their new inventory on the site, or maybe you want something pre-owned, no matter what you see, you're going to go out to the lot and see it and know that the people out there will make sure you get the car that you love. So from the 6-month, 6,000-mile warranty for pre-owned vehicles to savings across the inventory, it's all there for you. Check them out at MonumentChevrolet.com. Understand that you're going to be part of the family once you get out there. They're going to welcome you. They're going to make sure you want to come back and buy your next car for yourself and the car for your wife or your husband or your children. You become a family member as soon as you step out there. MonumentChevrolet.com is a website. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.